Well, it's good to be here with you tonight. It really is. Pastor Kamensky, I don't know when did you ask me, Monday, Tuesday, about coming here and speaking? And I asked he shared with me what the theme of the meal was going to be. And not exactly my favorite theme. Okay, but I found plenty. I went back twice, went through for a second, so it wasn't all that terrible of a theme. And of course there was dirt. I told Pastor Kamensky today. I said, if there's nothing there, you're close enough to Wendy's. I'll just go up Wendy's and buy some hamburgers and go there. My wife knows that. Our church several months ago, I guess one Sunday afternoon, they decided on a Mexican theme and you try to be polite and courteous and they all know I don't like spicy food. Hot spicy. I don't really care for a real lot of spicy stuff, but hot spicy. So the one thing I'm saying, they're saying, Pastor, this isn't hot. You're okay. This isn't spicy. You're okay. This isn't spicy. You're okay. So there's one thing looked good. And they said, it's not spicy. So I'm biting into it. I'm sitting next to Diana. I said, I thought they said this wasn't spicy. And, it was spicy and I wasn't able to finish it. But nonetheless, you know why I come? I come for the fellowship. That's what I come for. I come for the fellowship. That's why I come. And that's why we come. I was glad to be invited. Even if Pastor Kamensky didn't ask me to bring the devotional. And I'm still trying to learn what a devotional is. But he reminded me kind of what a devotional was. You know, 15, 20 minutes devotional. We'll see how that works. I'll stick to 15. I'll take my watch off, so I'll know. I'll stick to 15, 20 minutes, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get done. But I do want this evening to talk about fellowship. Talk about fellowship. I have a friend, he's a pastor, and he's a pastor of a PRBC church, Pennsylvania Association of Regular Baptist Churches, just like our church, Union Baptist, and your church is as well. And I remember one time as we were sitting around just talking and having a good time, I don't know if it was a meal time or just break time, but we were just sitting around talking and having a good time. And he made this statement. I'll never forget it. Never forget. He goes, you know why I come to these things? I come for the fellowship. And if the preaching is good, that's a bonus. There's always preaching. But I'm not one, believe me, I'm not one to criticize preachers because I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. Okay, but there are some great preachers, there are some good preachers, and then there are some not so good. But there's always preaching at the sessions, and we do go for the preaching. But we go for the fellowship as well, because we all need fellowship. As Christians, we all need fellowship. And so, I'm going to share some things with you tonight. I trust would be an encouragement to you as it relates to this topic. As we begin, I just want to read these verses to you, and then I'll have you turn to a particular text. I have these several verses categorized simply as the positive in fellowship and the negative in fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's the early Christians, the newborn church of 3,000 souls who were saved on the day of Pentecost. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. The fellowship of ministering to the saints. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, that which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. And I think that was from 1 John. I don't think I got all of Philippians chapter 3, verses 1, 3 through 5. My computer must have messed up. My power Bible must have messed me up here, Dan. Thanks for the help there. 1 John 1, verse 3 says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Maybe this is part of it. I don't know. Do you have Philippians chapter 1? Read 3 through 5. I have things going together here.
3 what?
Philippians 1, 3 through 5.
Okay. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of...
So what translation are you reading from?
I thank my God.
There you go.
Always in every prayer of mine for you, I'll make you requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now.
Okay. So I have some stuff running here together. I have to correct this when I get home. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, is his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the positive in fellowship. And then there's the negative that we have to be aware of, who not to fellowship with. As Christians, 1 Corinthians 10, 20, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to gods, and I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. In 2 Corinthians 6, 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and communion hath light with darkness. We are of the light, so we don't fellowship with darkness. And then Ephesians 5, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And 1 John 1, 6, if we say that we have fellowship with them and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And so, just for simple purposes, I've categorized these into the positive fellowship and the negative in fellowship. Who should we fellowship with? With whom is our fellowship based? And who not to fellowship with? And so, that's to get us going as we talk a little bit about fellowship here tonight. The verse or the text I want you to turn to is an Old Testament text. Amos, the minor prophet Amos, if you can find it in your Old Testament. We're not too familiar with some of the minor prophets, at least the arrangement of them. I was at the hospital yesterday, had some tests done, and I was having one of the x-rays done. I had to lay down and they do an x-ray on me, and it took about 17 minutes. So I was trying to kill those 17 minutes because you could watch, you know, as the minutes go by, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. And when you're lying still, you can't move. You know, those 17 minutes seem like an eternity. So I'm thinking, well, I need to occupy my mind here somewhere. So I've been working on memorizing some passages of scripture. And then I went through those, and then I said, okay, that took 5 minutes. So I said, let's try the books of the Bible. And when I finished with Daniel, came to the minor prophets, I was done. And so I just said to myself, well, I know that Malachi is the last one. Let's go to the New Testament. So that took about 30 seconds. Amos. Did you find Amos? Okay, Amos chapter 3. I hope I got the right verse. And if I don't, I hope Dan has the right Bible. You have the New Testament. You don't even have Amos. You don't even have... I'm sure he knows the verse. I'm sure most of you know the verse. Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? I think that this verse gives to us a good definition of what fellowship is. Okay? A good definition of what fellowship is. And you know, the interesting thing is, this definition can apply to any kind of fellowship. You know that? Doesn't just have to be church or Christian. It can be anything. And I'll share a little bit about that here a little bit later as we get into this. But nonetheless, this verse in Amos gives us a pretty good definition of fellowship. It is simply walking together in agreement. Walking together, that implies more than one, right? Walking together in agreement. When two or more are walking together in agreement, shared interest, values, convictions, etc. But nonetheless, can two walk together except they be agreed? That is the fundamental, or that is the basis, or that is the foundation of any fellowship. And certainly it applies to Christian fellowship or ecclesiastical fellowship or associational fellowship. It applies to that as well. And so I have written here, just as a side note, I do this, you know, Well, before we even go here, so the definition of fellowship would be simply walking together in agreement. That's the basis of that verse. Walking together in agreement. The two conditions of fellowship or walking together are these. There must be more than one. There must be more than one to have fellowship. You know, my daughter teases me a lot because I'm always talking to myself. Always talking to myself. But I'm only one person, so I'm not fellowshipping with myself. I'm just talking to myself. But if it's me, Diana, myself, or Joanne, we're talking. Well, there's two of us, and here this evening there's more than two of us. Okay, so there must be more than one, and also there must be agreement in order to have fellowship. There must be more than one, and there must be agreement in order for fellowship to take place. Any kind of fellowship to take place, but certainly Christian fellowship, ecclesiastical fellowship, or associational fellowship. There must be agreement. And so as a side note, fellowship isn't just restricted to the spiritual. And what do I mean by this? I have here, and it kind of irritates me a little bit. And I refer to these people as super spiritual Christians. Super spiritual Christians will poke fun of church fellowship dinners, such as we had here tonight. However, if two conditions of fellowship are met, then fellowship happens. And so what were the two conditions that were met here tonight for this fellowship dinner? More than one of us came together and we agreed that we all like food and we ate it. We had a fellowship meal, did we not? We fellowshiped together around a meal, around a dinner. And there's nothing wrong with that. Even super spiritual Christians have to eat. And if they have a family, they're joined together with a family around a supper meal. And so it happens. Now, if the menu had only been sushi. Yeah. At the sushi, how many like sushi? Yeah, only the weird ones. So if the menu had been sushi, then I wouldn't have had fellowship with you around the meal. I couldn't agree with you that sushi was something that was meant to be eaten. It's meant to be used as bait. And how many of you have eaten bait? There you go. So therefore, if there had been sushi, if that had been the menu, there would be no fellowship. Okay, there'd be no fellowship. There are all kinds of fellowships. You don't have to get mad and leave. Are you going to go get some sushi? Okay. There are all kinds of fellowships. Those who have worked in unions are referred to as brotherhoods. The same thing as fellowships. There's the Brotherhood of Steelworkers. My son is a sheet metal worker in a union. There's the fellowship or the Brotherhood of Sheet Metal Workers. There is the IOOF. Anyone knows what the IOOF is? Off. I'm off. The International Order of Odd Fellows. The International Order of Odd Fellows, and some might think that perhaps I should be part of that. And that is a fraternity focused on the basis of the universal brotherhood of man. A universal fellowship of man. And so there's all kinds of fellowships, right? All kinds of fellowships. And they meet these criterias. But we're interested in Christian fellowship, right? Christian fellowship. You know, there's the fellowship among the Godhead within the Trinity. I remember one time I was someplace and I behaved myself. I kept my mouth shut. I forget what it was, but I could have spoken if I wanted to, but I didn't, because it was a mixed group. It was a group of mixed denominations of Christian leaders, and I don't remember what we were discussing, but this one Christian leader talked about fellowship And he made the statement that the reason why God created man is because he wanted fellowship. That's garbage. That's garbage. There is fellowship within the Trinity. There is the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that fellowship has existed for all eternity. God did not create man because he lacked fellowship. There was fellowship within the Trinity, within the Godhead, long, long, long before man ever came on the scene. And so there's fellowship among the Godhead. Three, or more than one, right? And they are in agreement with each other, are they not? Then there's fellowship, then there was fellowship between God and man originally with Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember, it is said that before Adam and Eve sinned, that God walked among them and God had fellowship with them. And that fellowship was broken. By whom? By man. Man no longer agreed with God. And man broke God's commandment. Because man, Adam and Eve, thought that it would be better to partake of the fruit of the tree that was forbidden of God to partake of. So they disagreed with God in that area. Now we know that the tempter came along and tempted them. But they could have said no to the tempter. So what they did is they agreed with the tempter and disagreed with God, and fellowship was with God was immediately broken. But God restored that fellowship with man, did he not? He restored that fellowship. As Christians, as fallen, sinful creatures, we can have fellowship with God, and we do have fellowship with God as Christians through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's only on that basis that this fellowship has been restored. As Christians, fellowship with God has been made possible by the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. Through the propitiatory work of Christ on the cross, the demands of God's punishment for sin was satisfied, and his wrath which was poured out on his Son was quenched, and we who were at enmity with God are now reconciled to God, and fellowship with him has been restored. And therefore, because of that restoration of fellowship, we can have fellowship one with another. And so that brings us to where we are here tonight. Because our fellowship has been restored with God through Christ Jesus, I can have fellowship with you, and you with me, and we with each other. Because the Lord Jesus is the basis of our fellowship. As Christians, he is what brings us together. As Christians, he is what unites us. And as Christians, it is he who makes fellowship possible. What we are doing here tonight meets the condition of fellowship. There's more than one of us, and we are in agreement with each other concerning the truth that the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And this is personal fellowship. That is fellowship that is between persons or with persons who are Christians. Ecclesiastical and associational fellowship is a more restricted fellowship based on doctrinal positions both believed and practiced. I can have fellowship, personal fellowship with anybody who is a Christian. But as pastor of Union Baptist Church, our church cannot have fellowship except for those who are of like precious faith. And that's true with associations. I don't think that your pastor would have invited me here tonight if I were a Christian pastoring a Reformed Presbyterian church. We could have personal fellowship with one another. But ecclesiastical fellowship or church fellowship, we would be on different pages. And so that because of our doctrines, our doctrinal differences, and how we practice it, keeps us from joining ourselves together in fellowship. But Union Baptist Church and Grace Baptist Church can fellowship one with the other, with each other, because not only do we as Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, but we also fellowship based on our doctrinal statements and practices, which we agree with each other. So that's that. But in the couple minutes left here, let's talk about this. The frequency of fellowship. The frequency of fellowship. And I have broken this down because I've been thinking a lot about this lately, about the frequency of our fellowshipping together as members of Union Baptist Church, or maybe even our infrequency, and then our frequency, or perhaps even infrequency, of our fellowshipping together of churches of like precious faith. As American, well, I've broken this down into two divisions. I have broken this down as far as the frequency of fellowship, the restricted frequency and the unrestricted frequency of fellowship. Restricted frequency as American Christians, and this is just me, okay? This is me. You can take it or leave it, but maybe think about it. As American Christians, we have been, as it were, culturized by the mistaken notion of restricted frequency. By restricted frequency, I mean, let's meet as seldom as possible. As seldom as possible. Here's how it works. Sundays between the hours of 11 and 12 are the only day and times for Christian fellowship. And independent fundamental Bible believing Baptist churches like ours, Christian fellowship takes place on Sundays between 10 and 12 for Sunday school and morning worship, and the evening service between 6 and 7, maybe 7 and 8. And for some Wednesday evenings between 7 and 8. And even some of this is coming across as optional with many of our members of our churches and with many Christians. And apart from these days and these times, Christians don't fellowship together very much. And I think that's a mistaken notion that we've been culturized with in our Christian culture. I have a friend who I went to Bible college with, and he and his wife have been missionaries over in Africa. Not the Ivory Coast, Africa. And he says that on Sundays, when the Christians meet together on Sundays, it's an event. It's a day-long event. A day-long event. They meet all day long. They sing and they preach and they sing and they preach and then they have a meal and they sing and they preach and they sing and they preach and they have some more food and they sing and they preach and then at the end of the day when nighttime falls, they leave and go home. And some of them will travel 20 miles out of the bush on feet to do this event called fellowship, Christian fellowship at church. Ours is all segmented. Sunday school from 10 to 11, church from 11 to 12, home at lunch. It's like, how many of you have ever worked at a shop where you had to punch in and punch out? Yeah, I worked at two places like that. Punch in, punch out. Cling, cling, in, 5 o'clock, cling, cling, out. Punch in, do your 8 hours, punch out, go home. Well, that's how we treat church a lot of times now. Get the time clock, 10 o'clock, punch in, 12 o'clock, punch out, go home. And if we come back Sunday night, 6 o'clock, punch in, 7 o'clock, punch out. If we come back Wednesday night, punch in, punch out, we've done our time. God's pleased. Life is good. But did fellowship really happen? Did fellowship really happen? Versus unrestricted frequency of fellowship. I think the New Testament teaches unrestricted frequency of fellowship. Listen to Acts chapter 2, 40 through verse 47. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word. Maybe that's what's missing. Our attitude in fellowship. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly, unmovable. And I added that word, okay? In the apostles' doctrine, just in case you might think that I'm preaching from a different text here, okay? Just don't want to. You can, but I can't. You can, but I can't, okay? In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, they continued steadfastly. There was no quitting, no ceasing. Kept going on, kept happening. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and they that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need, and they continued daily. Now I know that we're in a different time and in a different culture. And I know that it might not be possible for all of us to meet daily together, but just let me say this. This does teach frequency. Okay? It does teach frequency. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, share meals together, fellowship meals. This isn't just necessarily referring to breaking the bread of the Lord's Supper, although they did that. But eating their meat, that's mealtime. With gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Frequency of fellowship. Frequency. And then there's this familiar text in Hebrews. And you know this, chapter 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now the writer of Hebrews is not addressing a particular church. Mm-mm. Paul addressed particular churches, and he named those particular churches. And we could see that in those churches, they did fellowship together frequently. But the writer of Hebrews, he's addressing a group of believers. Hebrew believers. Jewish believers. No churches in particular. And what he is instructing them, and this is, by the way, this is a imperative. You know what an imperative is? What's an imperative? A command. So this is something that the Lord commands us as Christians to do. Not an option. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the, if you want to say this, not forsaking the fellowshipping of ourselves together. Frequently. As the manner of some is. Isn't that interesting? This was going on. This isn't something new with us in our day. Okay, so we should not think that this is unique with us, because it's not unique with us. It began back when the church was still in its infant stage, or perhaps early childhood stage. And by then the Christians were not meeting together frequently like they were at the beginning. And the Lord had to remind these believers through the penmen of the book of Hebrews. He had to remind the believers that they are to keep fellowshipping together, keep meeting together, like they did at the beginning, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And then he adds this, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I wonder what day that is referring to. Anybody have an idea what the day that is? Yeah, the return of Christ. When Christ comes for the church. And then things begin to really unravel. And really, if we understand the New Testament scripture of the end times, things begin to unravel even before the rapture takes place, even before the Lord comes for his church. And we see that unraveling today. And so the Lord encourages us through this verse that as we get closer and closer to the end, and as we see the day approaching, as we see things unraveling, it is going to be more valuable for us and more important for us as Christians to fellowship together, to get together as often as possible, as frequently as possible, because we're in this together and we're going to need the fellowship of friends, Christian friends, because we won't have the fellowship of the world. And that's why this is so important, folks. That's why this is so important. My time's over. I'm speaking next Thursday at a fellowship luncheon, so maybe I'll give them the last part. But there is this. I'll just share with you what my last point was, or is, and that is, let's talk about the need for fellowship. The need for fellowship. Not just the frequency of fellowship, but the need. We need the fellowship. In our church, several years ago, we made a decision. You know how whenever you do the covenant of marriage for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer? Well, we made a decision for better, for worse as a church. Because several of us just felt the need of fellowshipping with each other more than we do. With each other. And so we made a decision to do away with our 6 o'clock evening service And we have our Sunday school and we have church and then we have a fellowship meal after church. And then we have our afternoon service instead of an evening service at 1:15 and it lasts until about 2 o'clock or something like that. And we lost some, we did lose some people who came out at the 6 o'clock service and they didn't like the idea of going this route. And we lost some of them, but we picked up others. And so we really stayed about the same. But every once in a while I ask, is anybody getting tired of this? And we've been doing this, how long, Diane? 4 years? Three or four years? And no one wants to go back to the old way. Because they, and I would have thought that by now, the women of the church, because they're the ones that do all the cooking. You know how that goes. The women cook and the men eat. And every Sunday, it's a meal, just like we had tonight here. It's a meal every Sunday afternoon. It's a meal. The women bring, and we never know what we're going to have. Sometimes we have more of the main dishes and less dessert. And sometimes we have more dessert and less main dishes. But no one goes away hungry. And we all just sit around the mealtime, fellowshipping together, talking to each other. And then we have our afternoon service, and then we go home. And we do that not to be done for the day, but we do that, at least my purpose, and I believe that the folks have caught on, we do that because of the good fellowship we enjoy with each other Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. When church is a punch in and punch out and go home, there's very little interaction that goes on between the fellowship of the saints, the talking of the saints, the communication of the saints one with the other. But when we do it this way, not only is there the fellowship in music, and not only is there the fellowship in the Word of God, not only is our fellowship in Christ, but I tell you what, there's fellowship one with the other. And we share things that we would never share things if we didn't do that. It's fellowship. I received in my email, I think this morning, I received this. And I don't know who the person is who wrote this, but I am familiar with the person that she is referring to. But she said this, she wrote this, it is written. She says, I sat down earlier this morning and said to myself after I prayed about this, if I could say anything that I wanted to, and she's talking about this is, she is relating to us what Pastor Colin related to his students. He was a former professor at Baptist Bible College. And it's interesting. I wasn't friends with, Pastor Colin. I knew of him, but I was friends with his brother, Eric, from BBC. And you might be familiar with, Pastor Colin. He was brilliant. He was brilliant. He was brilliant. And, he resigned after teaching at BBC for many years, and he also pastored a church while doing that. He resigned his position to become a professor at Piedmont Bible College, and he moved his family down to Piedmont Bible College. And he was to begin his preaching duties the fall of that year, and he died the summer of that year. He suffered extreme headaches throughout his adulthood. And that Sunday morning, it was a Sunday morning, he had one of these headaches and he told his wife, I can't go to church today, I'm going to stay home. And so she went to church with the kids, and when she came home, she found him dead in his bedroom. And this is who this person is referring to. Pastor Colon as he is addressing his students, especially the graduates before they would graduate that year. He says, I sat down earlier this morning and said to myself after I prayed about this, if I could say anything that I wanted to our students at the end of this year, what would I say? In the end, I had five things. And these are the five things. Following Jesus Christ is a command, not an option. Two, never underestimate the depravity of your own heart. Three, and this is where the fellowship comes in. Make sure that your best friends are friends of God. Four, cultivate good thoughts about God. And five, offer to Christ all that you can at every stage of your life. And that includes fellowship. But I like number three, as this specifically applies to fellowship. Who are your best friends? My best friends are God's people who are walking with God. You would be among my best friends. My church folks would be among my best friends. Some of you, Dan and LaRue, are better friends than some of my own brothers and sisters. Even though my brothers and sisters, they're all in Christ, but I see them very little. I have very little communication with them. I have very, very little one-on-one fellowship with them, but I have lots of one-on-one fellowship with the Kaminskys. And when we get together as friends, your church and our church or things like this, you are my friends. And why are you my friends? Because you're friends with God. And God is your friend. And that's the basis of fellowship. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I trust that what I have had to share here tonight might be something that we might all appreciate and be encouraged by. Certainly we are encouraged by the fellowship that we've enjoyed here tonight. And Father, we would want more of this sweet, blessed fellowship because it's all in your name and it's all through you and because of you. And so I ask, dear God, that as we have been blessed here tonight, that we might also have been a blessing to you. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.